You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Oliver Goff is the co-founder of Marlowe Watch Company, an independent British watch brand he launched with a complete stranger 5 years ago. Based in Sweden at the time, Oliver wanted to find someone to help him create a mechanical watch when he came across some interesting posts on a watch forum. He began exchanging emails with Scottish designer Gordon Fraser back in 2015. And soon enough, ideas became designs and then prototypes and eventually watches for sale. The business partners didn't even meet face-to-face until 18 months after they first started talking, in the lobby of an Edinburgh hotel. And today they continue to work remotely, growing the brand and expanding their range of mechanical watches. Here's Oliver now with the story of Marlowe Watch Company.
I had a quartz watch, a battery-powered watch, and it ran out of battery one day. It had been going for 3 years, so there's no problem with that. That's how long batteries tend to last. So I decided, rather than take it to a watch repairer, I thought, well, I'll have it repaired myself. So I took the case back of the watch off and discovered that inside my $250 watch, I bought it when I was in America, it was a hollow metal case with a tiny little plastic movement in there. Now, perhaps I was naive to think that there would be more in this watch, but that was all that was in the watch. And it just so happened at around about this time that I'm realizing what was on my wrist for the last 3 years. I was actually living in Sweden, in Stockholm at the time. There was quite a big movement, excuse the pun, to a lot of these sort of fashion watch brands were popping up, Swedish brands, Scandinavian brands. And I took a bit of an interest in them and started trying to understand their business models and that sort of thing. I was researching manufacturing at that particular time in a role. And it just became very, very interesting how you make these watches for not very much money and sell them at quite a markup. And coincidentally, at the same sort of time, I started to understand crowdfunding, Kickstarter, looking at a lot of platforms like that, a lot of campaigns, and there were so many of them. I'm talking sort of maybe dozens, which doesn't sound very many, but of campaigns that were promoting luxury watches direct to the consumer. And I could immediately just see through what they were trying to say. You know, they were cutting out the middlemen, the resellers, and saying that you're getting a luxury watch, which normally would be, I don't know, £500, and you're getting it for £250. But the truth of the matter was, it was still a quartz battery-powered watch, which could be made at an incredibly low cost. The question I sort of began to ask myself was, well, how difficult is it to actually make this statement true? Now, we don't make luxury watches. We don't really like the word luxury. Everyone's luxury is different. It's completely subjective. But what I did want to do is make a watch that had real value, that was genuine, that had a beating heart, that was mechanical and engineered. And so I started down this route of if it was possible to create such a product at a competitive price to these supposedly luxury watches. And what I found out was that some of these luxury fashion brand watches cost as little as $5, $6, $7 to make. That's including everything, and even the leather or the faux leather strap. And I suppose I was just a little bit disturbed by this, that these watches that you could make for $5 or $6 were being sold for $250. My father actually had hand-wound watches, so manual mechanical watches, and he would wind it at the breakfast table every morning. And so I started down that route. Well, how could I possibly make a manual mechanical watch that could compete with these quartz watches? I did my research into manufacturing and realised how much that would all cost, and it's substantially more than $5. But the one problem I had was I had no one to design anything for me. I'm not a very good designer. I can do the odd sketch, but I needed much more than that. So I reached out to people on forums and and spoke to people in person, designers, and the one main problem was I didn't have any money to pay this person to do the work. The plan was to design and produce prototypes of a watch and then launch it on a crowdfunding platform. In the end, I happened upon a chap called Gordon, who was just writing some very interesting things on a watch forum, and I asked him, I mean, he must have been the 50th person I'd asked if he'd design a watch for me for free. And after a week or two of chatting, he said, yeah, let's go for this. It sounds really, really interesting. And in fact, with Gordon, the payment terms at the time were to reward him with some watches once they had been made. All the money that we had at that time was pushed into marketing to promote the campaign, to promote what we were doing, and to build the prototypes. We designed a beautiful watch. That was our first watch, called the Cherwell, and we ran the marketing for sort of 4 to 6 months and launched it on Kickstarter, and thankfully it resonated with so many people, what it was that we were trying to do, and in fact the product itself resonated with so many people. So thankfully, after all that research and that sort of that initial journey, we were sort of projected into the watch industry. It's been a really interesting journey with Gordon. So from the day I emailed him, we didn't meet for the first year and a half of the business. I was based in Stockholm for the majority of that time. I did move back to the UK. He lives in Scotland. We hadn't met until, November 2017. So yeah, about a year and a half after we launched. Since then, we've had an office in Henley-on-Thames, and he has been based up in Kinross in Scotland. He has a design office there, and it works really well for us. Having that separation to a certain extent allows him the freedom to design and allows me in turn to have the freedom to run the business. We meet regularly. He comes down to Henley once a month, and we can sit down and go through all the projects that we're working on and all those elements. But We're making traditional watches in a modern world. We have Slack and Skype and WhatsApp and whatever you need to make things work. And for us, it doesn't really, there's no hurdle to the communication or the running of the business. Well, I suppose primarily, in a way, we're a design business. We do produce mechanical watches. That is the sole product that we make. But due to the lack of any sort of watch manufacturing industry within the UK, you can't do it on British shores. So we have all of our products manufactured abroad. And so what we control is every single aspect of that design process. So, for example, a mechanical watch is quite a technical product to make. And a lot of brands will sort of buy off-the-shelf parts. We don't buy any off-the-shelf parts. Every single element of our watches is manufactured to our design specifications that we sort of bring together, have assembled. So it's a completely unique piece. We'd been making watches we started in China. We don't actually make watches in China anymore, although they're quite good at it. They've been doing it for 50 plus years. We then moved over to Japan, and Japan have a very high and respectable reputation for making mechanical watches. Switzerland is seen as the most prestige watch manufacturing country in the world. We approached them really with a brand new design. We'd had demand from our customers for a Swiss-made watch. And we approached several Swiss designers with a design concept that we had, and we started chatting to them. We popped over there and visited some of the facilities and made a decision based on what we'd seen and the discussions that we'd had to build a watch around a very, very recognised movement in the industry. Again, it's incredibly identifiable. It's one of the leading movement manufacturers in the world. And in fact, that's always what we really do. We pick the movement and then we build a watch around that movement. And so you take great comfort in the fact that the movement is absolutely rock solid because it's been used for years and decades and decades. But you do still need to make sure that the manufacturer who's manufacturing the other elements of the watch, from the hands to the dials to the crowns, can not only manufacture all those components but bring them all together and make a very well-made Swiss-made watch. So with the recent equity funding round completed and the investment in the business, one of the things that we immediately thought, well, what could we do here? We actually raised a little bit more capital than we thought we were going to. And obviously we have made plans for what the future looked like. But one of the questions was, well, what does that perfect watch look like? How good a watch can we possibly make and still maintain our model of keeping it under £1,000? We have now conceptualized this watch and we're on the verge of prototyping it. And it really is a fantastic piece of engineering. Again, it's an incredible piece. And to bring it in under £1,000 is an incredible challenge. And in fact, without naming names, you'll find watches in the market that have the spec of this watch are selling for multiple thousands of pounds. But for us, it really is about bringing something to market that is more accessible, that is more affordable, that is a bit more realistic. Thankfully, we don't pay David Beckham £50 million to wear our watch. Therefore, we don't have to mark up our watches just to take those brand and promotional costs into account. So we have much, much tighter margins, which allows us to bring to market incredible products at these more affordable prices. And that project for us, which will hopefully come to fruition early next year, and once we have gone through all the various prototyping and production stages, will be our sort of our flag in the sand for Marlow. I mean, we do a lot of things. We make watches at £300. We make dive watches, all sorts of things. But that one for us will be a really sort of a marquee, aspirational watch, shall we say.
Oliver Goff, co-founder of Marlow Watch Company. And if you'd like to read that first email Oliver sent to Gordon, you can do so on their website, marlowwatchcompany.com. My thanks to Oliver for coming in to share his story, and to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.